that we had together this morning. I would draw your attention to Mark chapter 9. Last week in our journey through Mark's gospel, we looked at the moment when Jesus was transfigured, when he was, what that means, when he was transformed, and what that meant for those that were with him, Peter, James, and John, but also the significance of that transformation, of that transfiguration for Jesus himself, and that it was a foretaste of our Lord's resurrection and his second coming. And then we discovered what happened as they came down the mountain. Well, this morning we're going to look at what happened and what occurred immediately after that. We're going to look at Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. And what occurred at the end of their journey down from the mountain. And what we're going to discover, I believe, that we can even apply today, that it concerns littleness of faith. Notice I didn't say little faith. Littleness of faith. There's a difference. Now I'm going to explain that, and we will discover that. And before we begin, as I always say, you want to note the parallel passages that are found concerning this. One is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 37 through 42. In Luke 9, 37 through 42. And then in Matthew, chapter 17, through 20. Now, if you notice this, Mark, chapter 9, it's verses 14 through 29. If you notice, Mark's account is the longest of the three. That's usually not the case in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is usually short and condensed. But as I've said before, we are now have reached the crossroads and have crossed that. But now we're going on the other side. Because Mark has explained who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is. And now what Mark is going to spend a little more detail on is why Jesus came and the results of that and what his mission is. So I believe this is why this is a little longer, and it's the longest of the three Gospels. But let's set the scene, shall we? I'm not going to read all the verses, but in Mark chapter 9, we'll start by setting the scene by reading verses 14 through 19. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately, notice that word again? Mark likes that word, immediately. In other words, Mark is saying as soon as they got down from the mountain where Jesus was transformed, where he was transfigured, Jesus, Peter, James, and John encounter this. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw Jesus, they were amazed. And running up to greet him, the crowd. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" Notice the scribes, when we say in verse 14, we're arguing with them. That's the other nine apostles, disciples. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And he answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." So let's stop there before we go on. Jesus, Peter, James, and John now meet up with the rest of the disciples, the rest of the apostles, the other nine. When they do so, now remember Jesus had been transformed. They come down from that mountain. They arrive. And what do they discover? As soon as they get there, it's not a quiet scene. What's that? Yes, as we notice from the text, there's a lot going on here when they get there. There seems to be quite a hullabaloo going on. Notice that there's not only the rest of the apostles there, but there's also a crowd of people. And then amongst that crowd of people, it's the scribes. And they're arguing with nine of them. Now, I also believe that the fact that there was a crowd of people along with the scribe, that this is another piece of evidence and reason that where Peter, James, and John had been for the mount, for the transfiguration, for the transformation, was Mount Meron. Mount Meron. M-E-R-O-N. And the reason why I say that is, as I told you last week, it's not pertinent, but this gives another reason, evidence showing that that's where they were. Because when they come down, there's people there. If it had been Mount Hermon, where they had been at, which is the largest mountain, the snow-capped mountain, still is in Gaza. It's over 9,000 some feet. But it's in the very north. It would have been in the very north of Galilee. And there's in strictly secluded in Gentile territory. There would not have been that crowd of people. There would not have been the scribes if it had been Mount Hermon. Some tradition, as I said that the transformation was on Mount Tabor. That, again, is ruled out. The reason why is, even though Mount Tabor is only, say, not close to 2,000 feet in height, which would fit, but Mount Tabor is all the way down south of Galilee in Palestine. They didn't go there. They went north. The one that fits, the place that fits, is Mount Meron. Now, Mount Meron was about 3,000 some feet in height. And it fits because when they would come down from that mountain, where it was at, because it was slightly northwest of Capernaum, and when they would come down, there would be people there. And here, what do we find? There's people here. In fact, there's a crowd, not just a crowd, the apostles, the nine disciples are arguing with the scribes. Now, the text doesn't tell us, and Jesus doesn't say what they were arguing about. What he says is, what are you discussing with them? They were arguing. About what? But the context gives us a good clue. And more precisely, it had to do with Jesus himself. The disciples could not cast the spirit, an evil spirit, out from a boy. And the boy's father was searching for Jesus. He was looking for him to cast out the spirit. But Jesus wasn't around. Jesus, Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain where he was being transformed. So what the father does, he comes in contact with the other nine, with the disciples, with the other nine apostles. So he asks them. They try to cast out the evil spirit. They can't do it. Now, as we're going to see later in the text, there's a very significant reason why nine of the disciples, these nine apostles, could not cast the demon out of the boy. That being said, it was not because they did not try to do so. It was also not because Jesus had to be there. Because remember, if you remember earlier in the Gospel of Mark, we discovered that Jesus had given them the power to do expressly that. He had sent them out. They had done that. They had cast evil spirits out. They had healed people. Jesus had given them the authority and the power to do that. But here they couldn't do it. And once again, when the people see Jesus, the scriptures tell us they are amazed. Now, this word this time that Mark uses doesn't mean that they were just filled with wonder. The word that he uses for amazed here means that was one of awe, not just one of awe, but it was one of shock. It was one of alarm. Why? Again, ask yourself some questions. The scribes, what were they arguing about? Now, people want to think that, well, it was because Jesus was transformed and he still had that, you know, that look on his face. No. That's not it at all. That's not why they were amazed. The crowd of people that they were around, it was filled with scribes. The scribes were arguing with the nine apostles. Now remember, people want to say, well, it was because of the change of Jesus and how he looked. I don't believe that is the case, because remember what Jesus told Peter, James, and John when he was transformed. He said, don't tell anyone about this. Not until after I'm resurrected. So why would Jesus' appearance still be changed? No, it's not that. The word that he uses here is that these scribes had been arguing with the nine. They were amazed and they were in awe and shock and maybe, as I said, even alarmed. Ask yourself the question, why? Was it because of what Jesus looked like? No. I believe it because Jesus wasn't expected. It's like, think of it this way. Have you ever been, say, with someone